Well, I would like to start with a question. Which of these would you rather choose? This or this? Which would you rather choose? It's rather ironic, isn't it, that the last 2 months, this country has been wrapped up with the highs and lows of the England cricket team. And when we won on Monday, and don't get me wrong, it was a beautiful moment. I was totally thrilled. I must admit it's slightly embarrassing, but there were tears in my eyes as we won. But it was rather strange when you saw the trophy, and it is so very, very minute, isn't it? I mean, it looks rather ridiculous. You see there Michael Vaughan's hands holding up the trophy, and it just looks so very small. I mean, as we think of sporting trophies, we think of Wimbledon, we think of the FA Cup, huge trophies. And suddenly there is this absolutely mini trophy being held up. But all the England players, and most of England, would still choose this little Ashes urn over the big nondescript trophy on the other side of the screen. You see, when it comes to a choice, we choose what we most love. I don't know if you saw one of the spectators at the Oval on Monday. He was dressed in his wedding gear, and he was holding up a placard which said, "I missed my wedding for this." Now that was his choice. His wedding or the final day of the Ashes. And he chose the Ashes. He loved the Ashes more than his wedding. Which says quite a lot about him, doesn't it? In our Bible passage for today, we're going to see a choice that shows us quite a lot about Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. If you know the book of Daniel at all, or if you were here last week, you'll remember that Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, they've been deported from Jerusalem to Babylon. It's about 600 BC. They are refugees in a foreign land. And the challenge for them has been to keep living for God. To keep living for Him. Standing up for God in an environment that doesn't give God a second thought. And when we get to chapter 3, it'd be great if you could turn there now to chapter 3 of Daniel. It's page 886. Page 886. Chapter 3 of Daniel. When we get there, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, they've been in Babylon maybe for 3 or 4 years. But it's been quite long enough to make a name for themselves. The king has appointed them as administrators over the province of Babylon. We read that at the end of chapter 2. But now, in chapter 3, we see they have a choice. It is a very big choice. Just look at verse 1 of chapter 3. So page 886, and right at the top there, and verse 1 of Daniel chapter 3. King Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold 90 feet high and 9 feet wide and set it up on the plain of Dura in the province of Babylon. Then look at his decree down at verse 5. Look at verse 5. As soon as you hear the sound of the horn, flute, zither, lyre, harp, pipes, and all kinds of music, you must fall down and worship the image of gold that King Nebuchadnezzar has set up. Whoever does not fall down and worship will immediately be thrown into a blazing furnace. So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they certainly had a choice to make. Now we saw some entertaining headlines in the newspapers on Tuesday after the Ashes win. The Sun said, "Fantastic." The Daily Sport said, "Nice little urn-er." And the Mirror said, "Incredible." But the Babylonian Herald, its headline would have been none of those. The Babylonian Herald would have said this, "Bow or burn." Bow or burn. That was the choice. Bow or burn. Bow to the statue or burn in the furnace. That's the choice. Well, let's see which our three friends choose. Have a look at verse 16. So that's a third of the way down on the right-hand column. Verse 16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They reply to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." Bow or burn. And they chose burn. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were senior members of Nebuchadnezzar's government. They wanted to be loyal to him where at all possible. But they knew only too well the first two of the Ten Commandments. Number one, you shall have no other gods before me. Number two, you shall not make for yourself an idol. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. And so their love for God came first. And we need to ask the same question of ourselves if we're here today as Christians. Does our love for God come first? Even at work. It's very easy, isn't it, to opt for the easy life. To opt for the easy life when there's a choice to have been made. It would have been much easier for Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego if they'd chosen just to bow down to the statue. When your boss asks you to massage the data of your spreadsheet, do you refuse or do you opt for the easy life? When you're having lunch with your colleague, you're halfway through your egg and cress sandwich, and she says to you, do you actually believe that hell really exists? Do you say yes and explain why? Or do you opt for the easy life? You see, when there's a choice, each of us, we will choose the thing we love more. That's what our man with the placard at the ashes did. I missed my wedding for this. He loved the ashes more than he loved his wedding. Christians, this is our choice. This is our choice. Which do we love more, the easy life or our Lord? Last week, if you were here, we were thinking about how we stand up for God in our workplaces. How? This week, we're not looking so much at the how question, so much rather as the what question. What happens if we, like Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, what happens if we choose to stand up for the Lord in our workplaces? Because for the Christians here, let us face it, that is our fear. If we stand up for God at work, if we choose him rather than the easy life, our biggest fear is what? What will people think? What will happen? What will the outcome be? So let's see what happens with Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego as they stand up for God in their workplace, as they choose the Lord rather than the easy life. What happens when they do that? Well, Samuel is going to come up and read from Daniel, from verse 19 to the end of the chapter, where we'll find that out. Samuel, thank you.
Then Nebuchadnezzar was furious with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and his attitude towards them changed. He ordered the furnace to be heated 7 times hotter than usual, and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then King Nebuchadnezzar leaped to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, O king." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like the son of the gods." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." So Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw that the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was a hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was no smell of fire on them. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's command, and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own god. Therefore I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the god of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be cut into pieces, and their houses be turned into piles of rubble. for no other god can save in this way. Then the king promoted Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the province of Babylon.
Great, thank you. So now we've got the question, okay? What happens as a result of standing up for the Lord at work? That's our question. What happens? Well, the first thing that happens is certainly a cost for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as they get toppled into the blazing furnace. Now, of course, standing up for God in our workplace, it doesn't always lead to a cost every single instance. We just have to think back to our three friends in chapter 1 last week. Back in chapter 1, they stood up for God, you'll remember, and actually that led them to prosper in their jobs, and they got promoted to very senior positions. But the fact of the matter is, as with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, a time will often come when there is a cost in standing up for God at work. But when everyone around us is bowing down to the gods of our workplaces, to the gods of materialism, putting the yearly bonus first, to the gods of security, putting the mortgage first, to the gods of religious pluralism, bowing down to the equality of all religions, to the gods of postmodernism, bowing down to every view is equal, as long as it makes you happy, to the gods of popularity, worshipping that feeling of being liked by everyone else in the office, to the gods of success, worshipping the quick ascent of the corporate ladder. When everyone around us is bowing down to the gods of our workplaces, well, it's a temptation for us to bow down too, isn't it? But if we don't, if we do stand up, if we're left standing up as all around us are bowing down because of our love for the Lord, well, people will notice, won't they? Now, the cost in this country, it's unlikely to be as serious as getting chucked into a blazing furnace. But there will be a cost. It may cost us our reputation. It may cost us friendships. It may cost us our promotion. It may cost us our job. That's what happened to one guy who used to come to the breakfast Bible study that we run here. I think I mentioned him once before. He got sacked from the marketing firm he worked for. His boss told him he had to leave his faith outside of the door of the office. He told him that he had to be prepared to lie on the phone to customers. He told him that he was not allowed to talk to anybody at all in the office about Jesus. And this guy, he refused. He said no, he wasn't prepared to lie. And a few weeks later, his boss asked him to leave. So there will be some kind of cost in standing up for God at work. There's a cost, but there is also a comfort. There's a comfort. Now, we can't claim from this passage that God will always rescue his people from times of difficulty. He does sometimes, and sometimes he does that miraculously, as with Daniel chapter 3. But we just have to look around this world that we live in to know that that isn't always the case. And Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, they knew that. Just look back, if you will, to verse 17 and what they said there in verse 17. Look at verse 17. They said, "If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods." So there's no certainty in the Lord physically rescuing us from difficult situations. There's no certainty in that. But there is certainty in the Lord comforting us in difficult situations. He will do that. He will comfort us in difficult situations. Just look at verse 25, right down there at the bottom of the page. Look at what Nebuchadnezzar says in verse 25. He says, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods." It is in the fiery furnace that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, they find comfort from this divine figure. Not once they're out of the furnace, but while they're still in the furnace. That's where they find comfort. You see, we may not be rescued from suffering, just as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were. But when we suffer, in the suffering, we can be certain that God will be with us, just as he was with them in the furnace. Even in the tough times. In fact, especially in the tough times, the Lord is with us. As you walk into work each morning, I don't know, maybe for some of you, it feels a bit like walking into a fiery furnace. I wonder if that's the case for some here. Well, the Lord is with you in that situation. He will never leave you. And it's worth us remembering why that is the case. Because let's face it, there are plenty of times, aren't there, when the way we live our lives, we deserve to be discarded by God. When we let him down, when we forsake him, when we don't stand up for him at work, we deserve to be discarded by God. Every single one of us here. But actually, if we're Christians, he does not forsake us. He doesn't forsake us because he has forsaken his own son. Do you remember what Jesus said when he was on the cross? My God, why have you forsaken me? It is you and I that should have been forsaken by God, but Jesus, he was forsaken instead as he took on himself the punishment for our sin. If you're here and you're not yet a Christian, you haven't yet put your trust in this act by Jesus on the cross, then you certainly won't know this amazing comfort, this comfort of the Lord permanently with us, permanently for us, not against us. You won't know that comfort. But you can so easily. Charmaine mentioned the Christianity Explored course. That would be a great place to start, to find out how you can know this comfort of being right with the Lord. Do pick up that. Come and ask me if you'd like to. But for those of us here who have put our trust in Jesus, and I take it that is probably most of us here, those of us who have put our trust in Jesus, then there are times, aren't there, even if we don't feel it, there are times for all of us when we don't feel it, we don't know this comfort from the Lord, well, we can know for a fact, even if we don't feel it, that the Lord will never forsake us. He will never leave us, even in times of trial. Trial in the workplace, trial anywhere in life. He will never leave us. And that is a huge comfort. This lunchtime, we've had 3 points. We've had a choice for each one of us. Are we going to stand up for the Lord at work? Are we? We've had a cost of standing up for the Lord. And then we've had a comfort in standing up for the Lord. 3 C's. But as we close, there's possibly a 4th C. A 4th C. A change. A change. At the start of the chapter, do you remember how King Nebuchadnezzar was? Right at the start of the chapter, there he was, King Nebuchadnezzar. He was commanding everybody to bow down to worship his golden statue. But by the end of the chapter, King Nebuchadnezzar's a changed man, isn't he? Very, very different. Praising the God of Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego. And he concludes by saying, just look at verse 29, the end of verse 29, at what he says there as he finishes. Look at what Nebuchadnezzar says. He says, no other God can save in this way. No other God can save in this way. He's right. No other God can save like that. But the amazing thing is, it's not just Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego who have been saved from the fiery furnace. God's saving hand is on Nebuchadnezzar too. By the time you get to the end of Daniel chapter 4, Nebuchadnezzar is certainly a follower of the Lord. A changed man. So what happens when we, each of us here, when we stand up for the Lord at work? Well, for Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, one thing that happened was a huge change in their boss. You see, we will never know what might happen exactly as we stand up for the Lord in each of our workplaces. But as you do that, as you stand up for the Lord in your workplace, people notice. It can have a huge, deep impression on those around you. And it could just be that someone in your workplace might be saved by God, just like King Nebuchadnezzar was. It could just be even your boss. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this lunchtime, we want to thank you for the example Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego are to us. We thank you for the way that they love you more than their love for the easy life. And Lord God, this lunchtime, we want to pray that you would help us, each one of us, to be men and women who stand up for you in our workplaces. And we pray that it would make a deep impression on those around us, both through our actions and through our words. Please, Lord, may you be working in some of our colleagues, just as you worked in Nebuchadnezzar's life. We pray, Lord, for the half-hour lunch coming up in 2 weeks' time. We pray for many colleagues of us here. We pray that they might be keen to come along to this event. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.